Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Excellent. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good
to see you. It'd be really boring if I was just here on my own. So, I've called today's message, What's in a Name? Now, it's something that we'll be familiar with, I am sure. But some things that you can get too familiar with, can't you? You can forget the power that there is in some of the things that God teaches us with, because we get a little bit too familiar with it. Familiarity, they say, breeds contempt. You'll read that in the book of Proverbs. All right. Okay, so let's dig into it, because we've got some stuff happening later on with our young Jesus dudes that we want to bless. So we want to see them blessed, don't we? Right, so a name. A name is something by which somebody or a thing is known. Brand names can be so popular, they become the meaning of the thing that they do. For instance, Hoover the floor, dear. Okay, Hoover the floor. It should be, could you vacuum clean the floor, please? You know, Hoover is a brand name that has kind of overtaken the actual thing that you do. Who can remember that when an apple was something that grew upon a tree? Talk about Apple nowadays, and you think about your phone or some kind of tablet device.
And don't grow on trees, does it?
That would be nice if they did. If I had an Apple iPhone tree in my backyard. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe I should pray for that. Okay. Has anybody here got an Allen key? No, you haven't. You've got a hex key. Allen key is actually a brand name. Did you know that? I learned that last year when I went to a trade show. Amazing what you can learn at trade shows, isn't it? The power of a name. The power of a name. And let's bring it down to persons, notorious names. What do we think of when we hear the kind of name Osama bin Laden? A notorious name. Adolf Hitler. A notorious name. Joseph Stalin. A notorious name. Yeah, villains to most sane people, heroes to some. Their names are attached to their ideology. Okay, another name, Winston Churchill.
Yay!
He's always good for a fiver, isn't he? Let's try some of these then, shall we? Charlie Chaplin. Morecambe and Wise.
Yay!
Anton Deck.
Yay!
See, that covers all generations. I won't say who remembers Charlie Chaplin. Let's not go there. But you, when I say those names, you're smiling. You're smiling, yeah? Because their names kind of denotes their characters. Yeah, it invokes a response when you say those names. Interesting, isn't it? All right, now God, you probably know this already, but God is into names. He gave the first ever name to man. Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image." Verse 27. "In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now, in Hebrew, did you know that human being is translated Adam? You do now? All right. So, if you like, God said, "Let us make Adam in our image." So, when he was talking to Adam, he said, "Human, where are you? Human, human." You know, it denotes what he was. It kind of, God was speaking to what he was. So, funnily enough, when an evolutionist says, "When did man first appear?" If you're translating that, you're saying, "When did Adam first appear?" I find that kind of amusing. That's just my kind of sense of humor. I like that. The joke is on you, sunshine. But anyway, he appeared when God created him. But we're not going to get into that this morning. So, God immediately gets Adam in on the name and things, and brings all the animals to Adam. He says, "Give him a name. Give him your name." Bouncy, fluffy, cuddly, who knows, you know, what kind of names Adam would have given to scary the animals that came along his way. And then, of course, Eve comes along and he says, "Whoa, man, That's an old joke. But anyway, woman. But anyway, names took on new meanings. All right. So Eve means to give life. So she was going to be the mother of all mankind. Eve. Yeah, to give life. It's good, isn't it? God has meanings in the names that he gives. There's always a meaning to stuff that God says, you know. Abraham, he is the father of faith. But once upon a time, he was called Abram, which means exalted father. Now, that's a pretty good name, that, isn't it? It's quite a good, exalted father. Yeah, exalted father. Like that. But God gave him a H. Some people say he gave him the H from his own name, Yahweh. It's two H's there. He's got a H to spare. But some. All right. So he's 99 years old. And God says, you're now going to be called Abraham. Meaning? Does anybody know? The father of many nations. Top prize to Pastor Lynn. Okay, yeah. So the. Did somebody say, oh, Jan says, well, sorry, Jan, yeah, it's just you're a little bit shorter than Pastor Lim, but, you know. I won't say and getting shorter, because that would be very naughty. Okay. Right, so, the father of many nations. The Bible records that he laughed in disbelief. Yeah, that's a good one, God, that's a good one, I like that. Dear. See, some of God's promises, humanly speaking, are hard to believe. See, I was looking through it and thinking to myself, I'm not so sure he doubted God's ability. Here he was, the man of faith. God told him, hey, Abraham, get up, or Abram, as he was then, get up and go to the place where I'm going to show you. Yeah, no problem. Gets everything, takes all his family, he's off. He's now in a continual faith camp. And marching across the land to the land of promise. And so, yeah, he was able to take God at his word. But here's the thing. Here's his problem, and probably the same kind of problem that we have. He probably doubted his ability to be able to fulfill the thing that God had said. You know, there he was, this 99-year-old geriatric. I'm sure he was a lot fitter than a lot of 99-year-olds we have today. But, do you know what I mean? It's kind of, yeah, I'm going to be a father of many nations. Okay, that's a good one, that's a good one. And he doubted his wife's ability. I mean, she was 90 years old. You know, you don't usually produce babies at 90 years old. Not what I know of, anyway. Do you know what I mean? Some people are saying that's a good thing. But, you know, I was just thinking, as Pastor Shane was acknowledging Sam this morning, isn't it great when married couples believe in one another? We've got to believe in one another. I've got to believe in my Sharon, you know, that God speaks to her and she's got wisdom. She's going to batter me later on. But but it's Pastor Shane's fault. He started it. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We need to believe in one another as married couples. God's put us together for a reason. We need to believe that God is going to fulfill his purposes through us, through the union that he has made. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, believe it. It's the truth. All right. Okay, so here it is. God specializes in the weak and the foolish so that people can say, hey, God must have done that. I'm sure when Sarah popped little Isaac out, people would have said, God has done this. It was a miracle that was glorifying to God. Yes, we feel weak. Yes, we feel rubbish. That's good. That means that God can do the miracle and he can get the glory. Yes, he can. Okay. So, here we are back to the story of Abraham. So, here he was. He was having a little bit of a laugh to himself and God always has the last laugh, and he said, okay then, we're going to call him Isaac, which means laughter. That's right. So every time you call his name, you can have a little giggle to yourself, and you can remember the time that you doubted that you was able to produce the thing that I said that you can produce. You know, we need to believe in ourselves. It's a scary thought, isn't it? I was reading something in one of the lads' devotions by Kenneth Copeland. He's a faith preacher. It's really upbuilding, actually. It's kind of like, I don't know whether you're getting anything out of Josh, but I'm enjoying this. And he was talking about the story of when the woman who had the issue of blood, internal bleeding, and she came up to touch Jesus, he said. And he was kind of talking to God. He said, who do you see yourself as in this story? And he said, well, yeah, it's just the lady come to touch the hem of your garment. He says, I don't want you to see yourself as the lady coming to touch the garment. I want you to see yourself as Jesus. It was like one of those, you know, what a powerful thing. You know, we're to see ourselves, Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, being able to minister to other people. We need to be able to believe what God believes about us. You know? That's a difficult thing for us, isn't it? You think, ooh, does that prickle a little bit? But you got to believe what God says about you. Do we believe God's word? Yeah. Do we believe what God says about us? Yeah. You know, we need to raise our expectations that God can actually use us to affect a hurting world, to bring people to God. You know, God has chosen in his wisdom to use us. We don't know why he did that, but he has. All right. God has chosen to use us. God has chosen to use you. Look at somebody near you and say, God has chosen to use me. Yes, he has. Yes, yeah. Say it to somebody else. Yes, he has. Okay. So here he is, laughing boy. Isaac is now on the scene. All right. God can fulfill his promises. So he had a word with Abraham's missus as well. Sarai became Sarah. All right, the name change came. She would become Sarah. I can't remember what Sarah means, actually. Someone's going to have to remind me. What does Sarah mean?
Prince.
Jan? Princess. Yes. Princess. No, Sarai means princess. I think Sarah does as well, doesn't it? Sarah means princess. I think Sarai does as well. Anyway, so she was going to be a princess. In other words, there's going to be royalty coming from her bloodline. But yeah, God gave her a H as well. Perhaps he gave her the other H. But anyway, let's move on. She too laughed in disbelief. And it happened anyway. You know, sometimes we think, oh, God can't use me, because I'm always doubting, I'm always fearing. You know, we mix our faith sometimes with a little bit of doubt, don't we? You know, but sometimes when we get hold of that promise is going to come. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we fear. You know, but we can see from these two people of faith, the promise came anyway. Yeah? Okay. Right. This time, next year, you will have a son. What a promise to a 90-year-old lady. This time, next year, you shall have a son. You know, maybe, just maybe, what you've been waiting for what seems so long, is going to happen before this year is out. Here we are. Start the clock. The 28th of May. There's stuff that you've been praying for. There's stuff that you've been wanting. Maybe by this time next year, that thing that you've been longing for is going to happen. It's going to manifest itself. I'm just going to chuck it out there. Anyone on the podcast, you can have that one as well. For doing. Okay. God did that for me once through scripture. This time next year, I believe, well, I know that what he said to me, you're going to be married within the year. And this was when I wasn't married. It was kind of like, no way. That was good for a laugh as well. It was a bit of an Isaac moment. And yeah, and it happened, just like he said. Right. So God's redemptive plan had begun. There was Isaac, and then there was Jacob, his name, which means he grasps the heel or deceiver. God says, no, mate, you're going to be called Israel, prince, or contends with God. Yeah? So wrestles with God. He remembered a wrestling match he had with God, and he overcame, and it changed the way he walked, if you know the story. All right. All these fellas and all these lasses knew God's name, in which was their protection. and he was their provision, he was their guidance here on earth. It was a promise from the Almighty, El Shaddai. Yeah, one of his awesome names, El Shaddai. I love that name. Okay, is God your Father? Okay, then he's the same to you. Okay, he is going to be there for you. He's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. He's going to be your provision. His name denotes who he is. Wait for him. That's the hard part, isn't it? Wait for God to come through. He showed up to Moses and revealed himself as I am. Tell my people, I am is with you. So you may feel enslaved. You may feel like you've been beaten. You may feel like you've been badly treated. But I am is here to deliver you. Okay. They found it hard to believe. Moses, he found it hard to believe that God could use him. Oh God, please send somebody else. You know, I can't do it. I'm not eloquent in my speech. I don't know how to speak very well. I've got a bit of a stutter. But God said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to be with you. I will help you. And he did. He became one of the greatest biblical leaders there ever was, if not the greatest. Who knows? Apart from Jesus, of course. All right. How many people know that when you're adopted, you take on the family name? Okay. How many of you know that we've been adopted into God's family? Let me see your hands. Excellent. Okay, that's a good recognition. We take on the family name. Let's not underestimate that. God's name and his character are inseparable. That's why he says, don't blaspheme or misuse his name. Because what you're doing, when you're doing that, you're abusing his character. Okay. The Hebrews, they don't use God's name in a casual manner. Yeah. The Israelites, they got a real understanding of the majesty of God's name. All right, so our first scripture for the telly anyway. John 17, verse 6. This is Jesus speaking in his prayer just before his crucifixion. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. If we could just keep that up there, Angus, please. So that word reveal in Greek, get me, huh? In Greek is your name. I have revealed your name. Okay, it's there in the footnotes. It's amazing what you can read from your foot, isn't it? But I have revealed your name. All right, so God, Jesus has revealed the name of God to his disciples and to us as well. Let's move on to John 17, verse 11 through to 12. And it's the same here as well in the Greek. Now I am departing from the world. They, the disciples, are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. Can you see how important name is? I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now, don't get worried, guys, because none of you are in the scriptures, all right? So that last part doesn't refer to yourself. I've read the Bible. I haven't seen your names there. All right. Okay, so Jesus protects us by the power of the name that God has given him. Okay, maybe some of you have felt like you've been going under and you've wondered why you haven't. It's been that bad. Oh, man, how have I stopped from going under? I tell you why it is. It's because Jesus has had hold of you. Jesus has had hold of you, and he has protected you by the power of his name. Just because his arm is invisible doesn't mean that he hasn't been holding you up. Yeah? Amen? Okay. God has given us the name of Jesus to use. When the angel came to Mary, said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save." Yes. All right. So, the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's look at Philippians now, 2, verse 8 to 11. This is where God kind of simplified things for us. Instead of having to remember all of his different names, we can now just use the mighty name of Jesus. Right. So, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So, he was victorious. And if you're in him, you share in that victory. Yes, you do. Okay. The name of Jesus is not like a magic formula. It's not an incantation. It's not a secret password that unlocks heaven. All right? When you ask for something in the name of Jesus, you're calling on the one who has the full weight and authority of heaven behind him. And that's something. And that is something. All right, there is no point in asking for something in the name of Jesus that isn't heavenly in nature, because it's not going to happen. Okay, so for example, I may pray to God and say, Lord, I pray that I shall never need to work again and all my bills will be paid in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says it's good for a man to work. You know, so that kind of thing is not going to happen. Yes, God can give you new work. He can help you to enjoy your work, etc. And he can prosper you in your work. But God wants us to work. All right, so it's no good praying that kind of prayer. Or maybe you could pray the prayer, "May Master Chef prepare all my meals from this day forth in the name of Jesus." But if you did that, she does, yeah. Well done, Pastor Shane. Yeah. You get large if that happens. I'm only going by the ones that are on the telly, dear. You cook better than they do, honestly. Right, okay. I might pray that prayer. May Liverpool win the Premiership. I've tried that one, but it didn't work. Anyway, right, we've been given the name of Jesus, not for selfish indulgence, but rather for establishing his kingdom here on earth. Yes, all right. Don't worry, God's going to take care of the rest. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you as well, promises Jesus. All right, when we're doing God's work, he'll take care of our needs. Let's go. These lads, these disciples, the apostles that Jesus had been teaching, they were coming out, they were fresh. They'd seen the power of Jesus, and they understood the power of his name. And so when the day of Pentecost came and preached that first sermon, and thousands got saved. And they're living in a time when the Spirit of God is just really pouring out. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through to 8. Here was another fella who God had changed his name. Jesus had changed his name. His name once upon a time was Simon, which means reed. He said, "I'm going to change your name. You're going to be called Peter," which, as we know, means rock. All right, something that's going to be immovable. We can see there was a bit of a reed in Peter's character. But yeah, God and Jesus turned him into a rock, the rock, Rocky. All right, so here we go. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. He was going to get a surprise, wasn't he? But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood up on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went with them. He went into the temple with them. How awesome is that? See, they understood that God could do it, and he could use them. He uses men. He uses women. And they got a hold of that, because Jesus had already told them, greater things are you going to do in my name when I go to the Father and the Spirit comes. And they actually got to see some of these things happening. They met the man's real need, not money, but healing in the name of Jesus. Let's go to Acts 3:16, read some more about the name. And they were there proclaiming the name of Jesus throughout Jerusalem. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So they'd been caught up about this. How dare you pray in the name of Jesus and heal somebody? That's very naughty. What a naughty thing to do, healing someone in the name of Jesus. Right, not everybody's happy about it when we pray in the name of Jesus. Let's have a look at Acts 4. Actually, they were preaching to the crowd when they said that last bit. It's this next bit where they get themselves into a spot of bother with the religious folks who don't believe in these kind of miraculous things that God can do. Surely God doesn't do miracles, does he? Acts chapter 4, 7 through to 12. They brought the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? It's interesting, isn't it, that they realize that it's done in somebody's name and that there is an authority that comes through the name of a person. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Man, you can see that he is Peter the Rock there, can't you? Okay. When the family, that's us, use the family name, all right, great things are going to happen. All right. So, did you know that the devil knows who belongs to Jesus? Let's read again in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through to 17. The name of Jesus has begun to spread like wildfire now. And here we are in Ephesus, which is quite some way away from Jerusalem. And a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantations, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house, naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus. To Jews and Greeks alike, a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. How many people want to see the name of the Lord Jesus greatly honored in this place, in this county, in this country? Okay. Yeah, when the family used the family name in faith, the enemy has to obey. Yeah? But these guys, they didn't really know who Jesus was. And the Spirit could discern that. And they ended up getting battered and very embarrassed. Okay, we need to expect things to change when we use the name like the apostles did. Okay. So, Jesus, he's the one that shamed the enemy. You know? It says he defeated him on the cross and made a public spectacle of him upon the cross. So it's the enemy that needs to be running away naked and battered because what Jesus has done upon the cross. Okay, so we need to make sure that we fight for our name. When I was thinking through this, I was just reminded of Muhammad Ali. And he once had a fight with a guy called Ernie Terrell. And it's been dubbed the What's My Name fight. Because he was once upon a time Cassius Clay and he converted to Islam. I don't know why he wanted to do that, but he did. But, he recognized that he wanted to change his name. His life had changed. And so he wanted everyone to recognize that. Now, he chose the wrong person to put his faith in, obviously, because he put his faith in somebody who couldn't save him. But he was so bothered because this Ernie Terrell said, well, his name's Cassius Clay. I always knew him as Cassius Clay. That's what I'm going to call him. And this bothered Muhammad Ali. And during the fight, it lasted 15 rounds, and he got a bit of a bad rep because he battered the poor fella, and he kept shouting at him, what's my name? What's my name? As he was fighting him all the time. And if somebody can be so upset about someone who can't even save them, we need to make sure that we fight for the name that is above us as well, the name of Jesus. Yeah? See, the devil, he wants to convince you that your name is loser, that you are no good, that you are a failure. But how can you be any of those when God has made you the head and not the tail? If stuff goes into the head that's good, the food, the stuff that comes out near the tail, it's not so good. It's smelly, it's horrible, and you don't want to be there. All right, God has made us the head and not the tail. All right, how can you be a loser when God says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? I want to hear you say it. Say it to one another. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Say it to somebody else. Say it like you believe it. Excellent. All right. Right, we need to speak these things over one another in church. We need to speak these things over one another when we're at home. All right, let's not speak negativity over one another. All right, let's speak the kind of things that God says about us, because that is the ultimate truth. You know, Jesus has got a name for us. We read about that in Revelation. So we have a look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 through to 13. All who are victorious, this is Jesus speaking, will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So Jesus has already got a new name that he is going to write upon us. How good is that? How good is that? All right. So is anybody here this morning up for using the name of Jesus? Oh, yes. So how are we doing for time? Oh, yeah, not too bad, actually, not too bad. So what I would like us to do is to get into twos or into threes, all right? And we can just pray quick prayers. That's all it needs. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That doesn't take very long, does it? All right, there may be things that you are desperate to see breakthrough in. Now, the power of the name of Jesus can break through. The power of the name of Jesus can break through. Yeah. Amen? Amen? All right, so come on, let's get into twos, let's get into threes, and let's pray about some things. You may need financial breakthrough. You may need healing. We've already read this morning, God loves to heal. God loves to provide. God loves to see things happening in your life where you need to see areas of breakthrough. God loves to bring salvation. So think about the things. What's really on your heart? You know, what is it that is on your heart that you want to see God do? Let's agree in the name of Jesus, you know, and let's invoke the power of heaven behind that name, the name of Jesus, You know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. When we call on that name, that's what we are calling upon. Does that make you feel, ooh, wow? And God can do it through you. He wants to use you. He wants to answer your prayers so we can pray for one another and see things happen in the name of Jesus. Come on then. Let's just crack on. We're good mature believers in here. We can do this, can't we?